can you give me an example? For we use the hard drive, for example. What would be a feature as opposed to a benefit on that hard drive?
Well, the feature is that it's just think off the top of my head. A feature might be that it can write at 16 times. You often see in relation to CDs and DVDs this 16 times or 32 times or 4 times figure, don't you?
Right. Yep.
Which might not be a computer technical person, but from what I understand, it refers to the amount of times that product can write or read the disc quicker than just playing an audio compact disc. That's okay. My understanding. And whether that's right or wrong doesn't really matter for the discussion. But just so if you mention 16 times, that is a feature of the product.
Okay.
If you say wired compatibility, that is a benefit of the product, because that will enable, in the person's eyes that's reading the ad, they're thinking, oh, that's going to be a benefit because it will work with anything I've got, rather than knowing that it's 16 times, which doesn't mean anything to you unless you know all the ins and outs of computers.
Okay.
But it's just making sure, really, that you home in on the kind of things that I suppose on our small business website, how we've differentiated between the two is that features are about the products and benefits are about the customer. So it's
okay,
just a question of making sure that what you're telling people is about them and not about your product.
Okay.
Of course, that's going to be different things for different products. And if I'd had a bit more time to think about that, I'd probably come up with a bit better example with a drive. But
no, but that's okay. I guess so. We basically, you've got a drive that's 16 times, which is our feature.
Yeah.
And really, the benefit to that feature is that this drive is faster than anything I've seen before. So my benefit that I'm going to put into my Google AdWords is, you know, external hard drive is saves you time, or it's
yes, absolutely,
extremely fast, that kind of thing, because
that's
what I want to know.
That's a better example than the one I gave, I think.
Okay, or whatever, or the one you gave. But that kind of thing, just kind of working with what you said, is that it's going to save me time because it's fast.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, cool, I got you.
And they're the major two things. Some other points are, try starting every word with a capital.
Every single word?
Yeah.
Okay, not just the first of the sentence.
No, absolutely, every single word. Because
okay.
That invariably improves the click-through rate, up to by as much as 100% we've found with various ads we've tried. And we're always split-testing ads, so you can very easily and quickly determine which ads perform better by just changing a very small detail in the ad.
Okay.
And secondly, with the sort of supplementary points, if you like, is capitalize words in the domain name if they're relevant to the product. If you've got a domain name that reflects the name of your business, you know, Joe Blogs Incorporated, for example, then obviously it would be no benefit to capitalize that.
Right.
But if you've got a name that's hard drives on the net or something, then obviously that is relevant to hard drives if that's what's in the ad. And
okay.
We found that often just a simple change of capitalizing each letter of the domain name could increase the click-through rate by 50%, which is staggering, really. But very, very small changes can make very, very big differences with AdWords, because I suppose you're working with such a small amount of characters in the first place.
Yeah, that's true.
Small changes have a big difference. And thirdly, I think, is don't try to sell in the ads. There's just not enough space, and that's the job of the web page. The only aim must be to get targeted visitors to click on the ad to go to the web page, which obviously should be the thing doing the selling of your product or service.
Okay, so I'm actually looking at doing is basically listing my benefits and my website.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And as far as you can, in the headline of the ad, getting the actual search term that somebody has used.
Okay. Now, what about you? You mentioned that you're tracking and testing and whatnot. Are you using more than one ad for each campaign or each group?
Well, Google's got an excellent facility whereby you can have any number of ads written for each ad group, and they alternate between the ads, so each of them get the same amount of displays. So, for example, if you to take our hard drives, our external drives example that we spoke about earlier, if you'd written an ad for external drives, then never ever only write one ad. because this facility exists within Google AdWords to give you the results of two ads. So obviously, if you've got two ads, one of them won't perform as well as the other one, and then you throw away the one that doesn't work as well and write a new ad to replace the ad and compare that to the ad that did better than the first one.
Okay.
So you're continually, I mean, a lot of people might already realize that in advertising and marketing terms, this is called beat the control. So you start off with two ads, see which one performs better, keep that one, throw the other one away, write a new ad that is trying to beat the one that worked best in the first place, and you continually go on revising that process until you're satisfied that you've got the best ad you can for each ad group.
Okay, and then do you just run the one ad, or you leave it at two?
No, I'd leave it. I'd run the one and then just make a very small change.
Okay.
Perhaps what I was talking about earlier, capitalizing, changing, perhaps in the domain name, putting a slash and putting the actual product name with a capital letter at the beginning of it with small letters. Just keep making minor changes, because it's amazing the difference that they can make in using AdWords.
So what do you then use as a basis? I mean, do you get very, very specific? For example, I have to tell you, right, I took your book and put it to use on a site that I'm working on right now. And following your principles and the procedures that you have, I've got two ads running. One of them is, I just checked before I gave you a call, one of them is sitting at 174 clicks, and the other one is sitting at 163. So they're extremely close. They seem to be both working about the same, but at what point do you say, okay, let's scrap one and do a new one? Because for me right now, I feel they're both doing pretty much equal.
Well, the interesting thing, I'm assuming that you... if you followed the book, did you actually make sure that Google are displaying both ads equally?
Yeah. One of them is getting 50% and one of them is getting 48.9%.
Brilliant. And what are the click-through rates on the two ads? Because did you start them both at exactly the same time, so the click-through rate is as close together as the amount of clicks?
Yeah. Not in online right now, but as close as I can remember, I think there's something like 0.5% difference between the two.
Right.
But is that? I mean, I've only been doing it for about 24 hours, and there's only a very slight difference. Is it something that I should run it maybe for the next 3 or 4 days and see if I get some changes, or
no? I was
one and do it now.
No, well, I was hoping to get an opportunity to put this fact in, because it's such a useful fact, and it took us ages to actually find this detail somewhere and test it for ourselves. But as a rule of thumb, you don't need to get any more clicks than 30 before you can confidently predict the long-term performance of two ads. So, providing you've got 30 clicks on each, if one's performing better than the other one, there's a 90% chance that that's how it'll continue over time.
No kidding.
Yeah, I mean, it's so you don't need to wait for hundreds of clicks. Having said that, if the two ads that you're running are that close together, I mean, are they actually different ads or slight changes with the same ad?
They're actually quite different. One of them...
Well, that is staggering and very unusual.
Yeah, I put two totally separate ads together, and it's for a palm reading product. And one of them basically focuses on, learn how... I can't remember the exact wording, but it was basically learn what's in your future wealth and love or something like that. And the other one is... stop getting palm readings, do it yourself. It's basically, that's the two focuses. So
right.
It's coming from two different angles, and they've got almost exactly the same click-throughs.
And what sort of click-through rate, have you any idea, without giving me exactly, what kind of click-through percentage are they actually getting?
They're sitting at 3.1, I think, today.
Oh, that's pretty good. I mean, it's... Well, what I would suggest, if you've got two ads that are that much different but are performing very, very similarly, then I'd just change to another ad. Just try another slot. Well, then you can do two things. You can either change to another ad, or the one that's slightly better of the two, just try a slot. Just reverse lines two and three, if it still makes sense. And often you can find that such small things can make big differences. And even... very experienced and very expensive to hire copywriters can't tell you which ad will perform best. So the only way of knowing is to make a slight change and just run with it. But don't go past the 30 clicks.
Okay.
So you don't need to spend much to test how a new ad is performing to the two that you've already got that have seemed to be performing pretty well so far.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of, that's about $2 worth of testing and about 3 hours worth of time.
Yeah, I mean, it's so quick to test different ads with AdWords. And most people, again, without looking into it and doing some research and gaining through their own experience, but if they're not able to spend that much time working with AdWords, which most business people, of course, aren't, the likelihood is they're probably looking at it every couple of weeks, and the clicks build up and build up. Most people only put one ad in, and then if that ad isn't working, they might change it to another ad. Most people actually don't run two ads side by side, so you've got no relative measure of two ads that Google provides such a great facility for you to use that, I mean, it's almost sinful that not everybody uses it, because it's so easy to use, because they do it for you.
Exactly. No, that's cool. Well, you've been doing AdWords for, like you said, the last couple of years. Do you have a real huge success story or a very successful campaign that sticks out in your mind that you can share what you did and why that one worked so well?
Sure. I mean, just one example that worked really well was a company that we used AdWords for the first time by actually following all the steps in the first draft version of the ebook, just to make sure the whole thing panned out as I was pretty confident it would. And they'd been using Overture for about 18 months. And if I'm honest, they didn't really have much faith in a trial to check out AdWords, because they were quite satisfied with their use of Overture. And probably at the time they started, Overture probably had an edge in terms of how much volume of traffic, and it was certainly the better known of the two pay-per-click search engines at that time.
Right, yeah.
And they just stuck with Overture. And they'd done a lot of work on their Overture campaign and felt that they'd really maximized the benefit they were getting from it. So they were a bit reluctant to try AdWords, but they did try it, and they were really, really surprised how successful it was. In fact, they generated more traffic to their site using AdWords in 3 days than they were getting in a whole month using Overture.
No kidding.
And in fact, after 1 week, they had to pause their campaign because they just couldn't handle any more work. And I guess that's a nice problem to have for a lot of businesses.
Wow.
Site went, a lot of people might be familiar with Alexa.
Yep.
Alexa.com, which is a tool you can use to, I mean, it's not 100% accurate, but statistically it's got enough users worldwide to be a meaningful measure of one site's popularity in terms of the traffic it gets compared to another. And when they started, they were ranked on Alexa at just higher than a million and something their position was, with one being the site that gets most traffic on the internet and sort of 5 or 6 million being the lowest site that they actually register traffic for.
Right.
And in 24 hours, they went from over a million to 219,000.
Wow.
just by the use of AdWords.
Just from Google.
From
AdWords.
The start of their campaign. And I thought that was pretty impressive.
What was this for? What company is this? Or type of
it's actually a company called Gem Merchandising. It's a company which specializes in merchandising within multiple chains in the UK. And that is, it's a purely UK-based company.
Right.
But they do work for some big DIY companies in the UK, including B&Q, which is very big in the UK, and they do some work for Tesco supermarkets, which are pretty big. So whilst it started off pretty small, I mean, it's growing into a sizable company, but they just had to pause the campaign because they just couldn't handle any more work.
So how did your AdWords campaign kind of get put together? What did you use for the headline and the actual two lines of body copy and whatnot?
Well, what they used is virtually identical. Well, they based it on what they'd been using that they'd found over time work with Overture.
Right.
As I said, they'd been working with Overture for about 18 months before they tried AdWords, and they'd honed their ads over time, so they'd gradually improved their click-through rate using Overture. So they were in a position very much where they were just able to do condensed versions of those ads to use in Google, which virtually from day one worked very well. I mean, they had a number of different ads running on Overture, so therefore they did a number of different versions for when they converted those ads and reduced the amount of space they could use for use in AdWords. So they had probably 10 ads that they were using, and out of those 10, two or three of them were working markedly better than others, so they used the format of those to put into the other ad groups. So it's basically, as we've discussed in our conversation so far, they just started off with two ads in each ad group. They already had experience of those, having got the best performance with Overture, so their starting point was one of pretty sound knowledge of the fact that these ads were likely to get good click-through rates, and just tweaked them over by going into their AdWords campaign a couple of times a day and just looking at them. But you can tell if they had to pause the whole thing after a week, they got to an increased traffic situation very, very quickly.
Well, that's a good story. That's a good problem to have.
Yeah.
What about the other side of the coin? What about some campaign or a campaign that kind of bombed on you?
Well, in terms of examples of campaigns that didn't work, in my experience, that's very rarely due to AdWords itself. Because fundamentally, if an AdWords campaign is set up correctly, AdWords does have the capability to drive more traffic to your site quicker than virtually any other method.
Right.
But the whole traffic generation thing is a little bit chicken and egg, really, in the sense that if your website doesn't convert any visitors to buyers, it won't matter how much traffic you get. And if you don't get much traffic, you can't perfect the selling process at your website.
Right. Yep. Yeah, that's
true. But statistically, the vast majority of commercial websites don't sell anything.
Yeah.
And that's not going to change just by throwing traffic at them, obviously. Although it must be true that the more traffic you get, the better your chances of making any sales at all. So another excellent use of AdWords that we often recommend to people is to use the campaign to generate a steady stream of traffic and use that traffic to improve the conversion rate of the website, i.e. the percentage of visitors that buy your products or provide leads for your business. And it's often something that's overlooked. The starting point for a website should be AdWords, because very quickly and very cheaply and very cost effectively, it enables you to check the whole sales process of the website.
Right. So you can actually put up a website, start throwing some traffic at it, see if it works. If it doesn't work, you can just stop your ad campaign, rework the website, and then start up some traffic and see if the new copy works.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, there are some fundamental design elements of web pages, which, of course, you know about, to give you the best possible chance of selling a product or a service. And that's more in the copywriting field than the AdWords field, obviously. And the vast majority of websites that businesses have created, they tend to be created by web designers rather than people who are designing websites that sell anything.
Right, yeah.
And there's a big difference between the two. You know, a website that has got a nice flash animation when you go to their homepage might look great, but it does a lousy job of selling, typically.
Exactly, yeah.
And just basic things that people should do, such as putting a headline on the page, makes a vast difference in terms of the amount of people that read further down the page. I mean, we probably don't have time to go into copywriting and conversion rates of websites during our discussion, because it's a whole field in its own right.
That's for sure.
But AdWords, of course, does give you the capability to check whether your website sales process is working or not very easily and cheaply.
Right, yeah. So you can basically use it. It doesn't have, well, eventually it will be an absolutely fantastic stream of traffic flowing into your website, but in the beginning you can really use it just simply to test the copy on your website and see if your copy's working okay.
Exactly. Absolutely right.
Right on.
And I don't really think there's any better way of checking it.
No, that's perfect, because you've got targeted visitors and they're coming in very quickly.
Yeah.
And like you said, if you only have to test 30, you know, basically, and see, you know, from your advertising standpoint which ad is working, then if 30 come into the website, actually this is more of a question. If you get 30 people come into the website and you don't make any sales, is that also a good way to measure, or do you need more than 30 to test it?
Well, I don't think 30 is anywhere near enough. I mean, 30, when we spoke about 30 clicks before, we were using that number of clicks to be able to determine which ad was performing better out of two ads.
Yep.
In terms of how many visitors you need to a website to quantify to what extent that website is converting visitors to customers, you need a lot more than 30. I mean, as I said, the vast majority of commercial websites don't sell anything.
Yep.
And a very good conversion rate on a website might only be 1%. So if you're talking about, I mean, if everything worked out exactly evenly, you'd need 100 people to visit the website before you could expect a sale.
Okay. Yep.
And obviously that wouldn't be enough to measure. But I mean, again, what we normally recommend to people is you need 500 visitors to get a feel for whether the website conversion process to sales or leads, depending on what your business is, to establish whether that's working or not.
Okay.
But if you look at that and compare the cost of 500 clicks to virtually any other means of getting traffic to the website, it's still quite a low business expense for most businesses.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, for sure. Is it, talking about businesses, is it AdWords, is it possible to use it for any type of business?
Well, it certainly is. I mean, clearly some businesses are going to get more benefit from AdWords than others, and I guess once you get past the fact there are certain sites that AdWords won't let you use their service for, gambling being
right, yeah,
probably the easiest example. But over and above that, if you've got a popular kind of product that a lot of people are searching for, then clearly you would generate more traffic using the right keywords to that website than you would to something that's in a very small niche area, which might not have many people looking for it.
Right.
But, of course, whichever way you look at that, because Google is the biggest search engine or the most popular search engine on the planet, you've got a better chance getting traffic from Google than you have anywhere else.
Right, yeah. Sure.
So everything's relative. So if you struggle to get people to your website because you're in a very small niche or your product isn't one that generally experiences a lot of sales anyway, then Google must do better for getting traffic than virtually any other method you could use.
Right, exactly. So how much time would you say that you're looking at doing something like that? You set up an ad, you need to test it, you need to rewrite your ads, monitor your keywords, that type of thing. How much time are we looking at before we could actually get a feel for whether the ad is working and sending traffic to the website?
Well, that's another good question. I think it's a little bit like asking how long is a piece of string, in some respects, because AdWords campaigns can have a very simple structure if you only sell one product or service, but quite a sophisticated structure if, for example, like the computer business we spoke about earlier, you might have hundreds of different products in distinctly different range groups. And what I always suggest is that people log into their account a couple of times a day when they first get set up, because people take varying times to become familiar with the layout and the user interface of how AdWords works, etc.
Right.
To make sure they always start with two ads per group, as we've already discussed, because Google gives you that functionality and facility. And I think the other thing is that you can spend too long on it and not really get any benefit. So if you log in a couple of times a day to start with, just become familiar with it, wait for the 30 clicks on ads before you make a change. And once a campaign is mature and set up and been running for some time, you're probably only talking about going into it once a week and just satisfying yourself everything's still ticking over as it was. So it's not a big time investment in the long term. And in terms of comparing that to the benefits it can have for business, like the business we were talking about earlier that had to pause the campaign after a week.
Yeah.
I mean, the benefits for the investment of time and effort in setting up the campaign are enormous.
So you're looking probably about the first couple of weeks you need to keep a fairly close eye on it, and once you've got it pretty much working on autopilot, then just let it run.
Yeah, I mean, I would still advocate that people just have a look at it once or twice a week.
Sure.
Because obviously things can change and people can start. Probably a classic case that we already spoke about, those oil paintings from photographs and old master reproduction, whilst they weren't getting any searches at all, mm-hmm. 5 years ago, 6 years ago when we started that oil paintings website, now those particular terms are getting used as search terms. And I think that reflects the fact that people are changing their habits in terms of how they use search engines, and the tendency is for people to put more words in.
Right, yeah.
So whereas 5 or 6 years ago people might have put in paintings, now they're starting to think, what specifically do I mean when I'm looking for what I'm looking for?
Right, yeah, exactly.
So you can't really ever just forget all about it, and I don't advocate that people should do that, but I just want to make the point really that it's not a big time investment just to keep it ticking over by looking at it once or twice a week.
Yeah.
Compared to the tremendous benefits you can get for the return on investment that you can get from AdWords compared to virtually any other means of promoting a website business.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Do you have any kind of resources that you use on a regular basis? I mean, you mentioned good keywords for pulling out, you know, the keywords to be able to use on the campaigns. Do you also have any other resources or kind of software, hardware, whatever you use whenever you're creating your AdWords and the whole campaign?
Yes, I think that it's quite difficult to give a long list of domain names during a conversation, but what I thought I'd set up was, we set up a page on a website which gives people some tools and resources that we use ourselves and have found very useful, and if people want to have a look at those and see what they think of them, obviously they're welcome to do that. But the page is on www.small-business-on-the-net.com/Terry Telford.
Okay. That's one big one big URL.
It is, yeah. www.smallbusinessonthenet or -ated lowercase / Terry Telford.
Okay.
One word, Terry Telford.
Super. That sounds good. Now, you've just absolutely given us a huge amount of information, Phil, that I think anybody can basically take this conversation that we've had and definitely improve any of the campaigns that they're working on. Do you have any last comments or words of wisdom that you'd like to add before we wrap everything up?
Well, there's probably one major thing that we hasn't cropped up in our conversation so far, which is instrumental to the whole benefit that businesses can get from AdWords, and that's tracking.
Okay.
What we haven't mentioned so far is that, quite simply, you can't measure what you don't track, and unless businesses actually have got some means of tracking the results of particular ads from the moment they're clicked on to the end of the process where they either make a sale or generate a lead for their business, obviously you can't hope to determine whether it's successful as it can be or not. And there are various means of tracking. I mean, Google actually provides its own tracking tool, and there are all sorts of proprietary tracking tools in the marketplace. I mean, I'll make sure there's one on the page I mentioned just to give people a flavour for the kind of thing I'm talking about. Okay. But very often, if you've already got a web statistics service that you use to give you indications of how many visitors have gone to each page on your website during particular periods of time, you'll often find that you can pay a little bit more extra and get the facility to have the clicks tracked right through to sales. And obviously, every ad that you write, if you make sure that's a tracking link, then that you can define exactly the outcome of that click on your ad as to whether it results in a sale or a lead for your business. Because the whole thing with AdWords is making sure you set it up so that the return on investment is measurable. I mean, one of the tremendous benefits of a web business, certainly compared to the offline world, is that virtually everything is measurable. And not just for AdWords, but in terms of website promotion by whichever means web businesses choose to employ promoting their website, you need some means of tracking it, and AdWords isn't unique in that sense. It's just another thing that you'll get far more benefit from for your web business if you're tracking it from the start.
Okay, that's perfect. There's something we also have neglected to mention, Phil, is where can people go to pick up a copy of How to Succeed with Google AdWords?
Well, I'll make sure there's reference to that on the web page as well, to save giving out another URL that people are going to struggle to hear and write down during the course of the discussion.
Is it a big one?
Oh, it's big.
Okay, I'll leave it in your capable hands. We'll have we'll let people go to the reference page. Let's repeat that page just one more time, because it is absolutely huge.
Yeah, it's www.small-business-on-the-net.com
/Terry Telford.
You got it. I was just coming to that bit. Yeah, you got beat me to it.
And I'll spell my name in case somebody doesn't know. It's TerryTelf, as in Frank, ORD, as in David. Just so it's all there in case it's difficult. I'll also put it on, of course, with the interview.
Great. That's fantastic.
Alrighty. Well, you've been listening to Phil Chapman from How to Succeed with Google AdWords, and Terry Telford from TheBusinessProfessional.com. Thanks very much for your time.
Thank you.